we're in a world, if we were staying just based on this world, this would be a good thing, in which you have a person that goes above and beyond. That means there is a standard that they're supposed to meet, but they go past that. Now, that's great in this world, to where the bar is put low and there's room for improvement. We tend to try to tie God to that same standard. And this is where we blow it. When we become godly Christians, we have access to perfection. We have access to the truth and the answers, the way, the life. We have it. Now, where we tend to fail is we try to apply worldly standards of going above and beyond to something that is where it's at, the greatest point. So if I go below it, I failed. And if I go past it, I fail. That's why, in clarity, I need you to get the name of this order, my steps. Do not be over righteous. Do not be over righteous. God warns that over righteousness will lead to self-destruction. He says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 16, do not be over righteous, neither be overwise. Then he says, why destroy yourself? I got to grow up around a lot of religious people. People who take what God has given them and then they run with it on their own. And they start adding things. And as I grew up, I got these things from them. And in fact, I know more about those things that were added and not really grasp onto what God just said to do. This is a person that said, well, God says this, why don't I also do this? And we've caused a major problem. You have those that are over-righteous. Now, you have the groups that are under-righteous. They're very allowing. They let sin come in. So we're not talking about this group. We're talking about the group that creates rules upon rules upon rules. He said, do not be this because you're going to destroy yourself. Over-righteousness is measuring righteousness with self, not God. That's the problem. See, when God gives us something, there are certain things, and I'm sure all of us have this, where he says, do this, and in our minds we're going, that's all? Why don't I also do this? Luke 18, 9-14 says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, do you see how he labeled them, and looked down on everybody else. Hopefully it's not speaking of anybody that's listening to this, but if it is, it's an opportunity for you to change. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were the religious leaders that people were supposed to mimic and look up to, but they were doomed. He says many times he called them a brood of vipers and that they were headed to a dark part of hell. And the other was a tax collector, which at that time were the most hated people. What they were doing to their people was horrendous. It says in verse 11, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. Do you see this? Okay, because self-righteous. I know I'm good, but I wish others could be like me. And we miss it. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. See how he started it? Because he's measuring himself to what he thinks is righteous based on other men. And he picks the lowest of the low, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And that time, they were at that level of people that you just saw the worst of the worst. And I can agree, I think a lot of us will agree, people who have these lifestyles, they are evil. I don't think you have too many to go, oh, no, they're okay. I fast twice a week. So he's now showing his religious actions and give a tenth of all I get, not recognizing the significance of what fasting does and the purpose of giving the tenth, which was tithe and us in grace giving today. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now watch what Jesus responds to each of these. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Did you notice he's saying the Pharisee was not justified? Why wasn't he? Because he justified himself. He measured himself. He already claimed, oh, I'm so righteous. While the other one realized the only one that can prove my righteousness is God. He makes clear, for everyone who exalts himself will be humble, some to a very bad space eventually, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. I got to be careful that I'm not doing the exalting. I've done that many times in my life, in which I looked and thought I was so righteous until I backed off and said, yeah, I really wasn't that righteous. Then when I backed off, there was room for me to grow in him. Do you understand this? Just by doing what he says. Over-righteousness will boldly push wrong ministries. This is why some people follow these ministers that say wrong things, because they come off very confident and we ignorantly go off of their confidence and not off of God's word. Matthew 16, 21 through 23 says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day to be raised to life. Now, he is teacher. They know he's the way, the truth, the life. They know all of this, and he's teaching them. He didn't say, oh, this could happen, and I heard rumors of. No, he's telling them, and they've been following him this long, and they understood. But watch how Peter reacts. Peter took him aside and began to what? Rebuke him. How do you rebuke somebody from doing godliness? Have you ever heard people do that? When you're doing what the Bible says and they rebuke you. This is what Peter did. Usually they rebuke you and when you're doing what God says, because you're self-righteous. So Peter was going through a self-righteous moment. Whatever the reason, it was still over-righteous. He said, never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. We're to rebuke those who sin, he's claiming, as he's doing wrong. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. With the understanding of how Peter reacted to him was going to push him in the wrong direction, because it was not based on the right thing. He says to him, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. I need you to stop for a minute, because most over-righteousness really seems godly if you're not looking at it through the eyes of God. We all have access to this word, which is perfect. It has exactly what we need, but you tend to go off of some other writing, some other person that you have respect for, some tradition that you followed, and it was all based on man being over-righteous. Are you getting this? Over-righteousness will cloud our relationship with Christ. John 13, 6 through 9 says, he came to Simon Peter. There we go with Peter again. Who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? If you remember at the time, he was telling them. He was doing this. This is a sacred thing and showing them the action of a master or a leader to be a servant and how we're supposed to be to one another. We're the servants to one another. Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Now, all Peter should have done is done what he said. That's it. How many of you just do what I said? Next thing you know, they're doing, where did this come out? He says, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you understand. He says, no, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. He just told him, you don't understand. He's the truth. He's the way to life. He's showing all this. They're at the end of this walk that they've been with him, and he's questioning him. Telling, no, you will never do this. I told you in my growth, I've seen it with clothes. I've seen it with ministry. I've seen it with actions and family, in which somebody would go, no, I can't see it. Even though I'm saying, you do know it says it here. They're going, no, I can't see it. Just like Peter was doing. No, I'm not letting you wash my feet. I've had people say that over and over again as a pastor when I would give them, here's what the word says. Yeah, but I'm also going to do this, or I'm never going to do that, because it's so righteous. I told you we went through a thing with payment in which I went through a self-righteous mode. I had people that would back the self-righteous mode until somebody just simply showed me the Bible. in which I thought, no, ministers should work for free. Until the Bible was like, that's not what it says. That was me being over-righteous. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Did you see what he just said? He said, so you do this thing that seems so righteous. Other people would look and say, oh, Peter knew who Jesus was to where he said, don't wash my feet. And he just disconnected and clouded his relationship with Christ. Then he goes the other way. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And he explained that to him. But do you understand, instead of him just saying, okay, how many of us have biblical things we do with? It's disturbing, it's dangerous, it's misleading. It's a stumbling block. We're never meant to do that. Over-righteousness will make us irreverent to God. Okay? It will make us irreverent to God. Okay? We will make sure that what we're doing is not completely what he says. In Romans 9, 20 to 21, it says, but who are you, O man, to talk back to God? In many cases, God doesn't give us things for our understanding. He gives us things for our acceptance. I remember in times, and I'm watching this happen with parents, even I watch it with my grandkids sometimes, in which they will question their parent. I watch them tell them, you're going to do this, and they either say no, or until you explain it to me. And then you see parents negotiating, trying to, we're not to be given an explanation all the time. So when he asks, who are you to question? That's the first thing. My child can say, I'm doing exactly what you asked me. And they can say, hey, just for my clarity, can you tell me? And sometimes I'll say, well, this is why I'm doing it. Other times I'll go, because I said so. That's the answer. That's why he asks, shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? In other words, who are we to talk back to him? Over-righteousness does it all the time. You'll hear them tell other people after they read what the word said, oh, don't worry about that. You don't have to do that. Over-righteousness actually alters true righteousness and places us in danger. Matthew 5, verse 20 says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me show you what this looks like. So what some people have done, and they became Christians and they follow what the Bible said. Then they start following an organization, a doctrine, some sort of process, some sort of tradition, not realizing now they're going backwards. Do you understand that? Because now righteousness start pointing towards these religious people. I've been put out there to where it's thrown out there to where they'll tell you certain things you have to do. I was just explaining to somebody, and if y'all ever see the Order of My Steps, or it could have been a sermon, on Christians' responsibility to community. One of the first things I'll hear people say when they talk about a church that's really doing what it's supposed to is they do a lot for the community. Now, in no way am I saying doing for the community is wrong. I'm saying that's not a measurement we use. You may go, why, Pastor? Because most churches, just like any other worldly organization, they do for the community based on the community. The church's responsibility is to be a light in the community. So a lot of times, it's not going to benefit the community the way the community want to be benefited. It's going to benefit those to come to God who are in the community. Do you get this? All right? But if you don't know that, in your self-righteousness, because it's a good thing you did, made people happy, and helped certain things, and all of this for the person, you're still trying to reach your own righteousness. You're trying to do it on your own. The over-righteous dishonor God. Plain and simple. Romans 2, 19 through 24 says, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. Okay, in other words, a person who's going through their pattern and they live a life and they really think I'm so religious, I'm following this. He says, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? There are, like I said, you have the people that go against something and they'll hone in on a group that does it and ignore another group that does it. I told you, just like, for instance, take stealing, for instance. You have blue collar crimes and you have white collar crimes. Right now, God's going to make it right, but at the moment, it's totally unfair. A person who has a stand in society, who society deems as a valuable, a person with potential, they'll steal and they'll get a pass. They get a lighter sentence. Person that they call a menace who doesn't really have whatever, they'll commit a crime. And man, they'll throw the book at them. They'll get many, many years. You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Right? The Bible made that very clear. You have a lot of people that'll bash other people in these relationships that they're not supposed to do. What are you doing in this? Like I said, many self-righteous people will bash same-sex relationships. They are wrong. They are sin. Understand that. But they'll do that and won't say a word about those who are divorced for the wrong reasons and remarry. You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? In other words, you may see somebody that worships something that you think is wrong to worship, and you may be 100% right. Well, you're worshiping your children. You're worshiping your country. You're worshiping. Do you see what he's saying here? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? And we're talking about Christ's law, of course. But when you look at it, in other words, when you watch somebody do something that you notice, do you check yourself first? Do you remove the plank before you go out and pass them? It says, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. This is exactly what you're seeing. They're not persecuting us and they're not understanding. They're watching a bunch of hypocrites who are leading the way, saying one thing and doing another. I'm watching this happen in government, and it's disturbing as a Christian when I see some people who claim Christianity and they're doing some un-Christian things. That's blasphemy. People are going, so this person, when they did all this, this, and this, but they call themselves a Christian. Is that how it works? And they know. Hypocrites. The over-righteous foolishly use self as the standard. 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13 says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. In other words, you'll have those that'll do something, and they'll go, I don't see anything wrong with it. And they'll applaud it. They'll accept it. They'll say it's fine. He says, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. This is where if I stay contained in an atmosphere, it's very easy for a group of us to be in agreement that what we're doing is right because I have nothing to challenge me. I have no problem with our teachings or whatever, for somebody to take it to somebody else, for them to ask the question, for them to challenge it. I want it to be that way. Do you understand? Not for debates, just so I can ask in case I am wrong, either which case. But when I let me be the measurement, you become even more and more self-righteous in the actions that you do. It says, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits. We know how much we know and where it ends. But we'll confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. He's saying, God lets us know the standard. We stay and follow that standard. We will not go beyond that standard. Those that use corrupt standards will have corrupt standards used on them. That's the warning. Anybody who's using self-righteousness and not righteousness, you don't realize how much of a dangerous place you are in. Matthew 7, 1 to 2 says, do not judge or you too will be judged. Now we later on, 1 Corinthians 11 tells us we're supposed to judge, but he's being clear, when you judge, you will be judged. So we're told to judge, and this is how the Bible complements itself, but he's making sure you're going to still be judged. Do y'all get this, okay? That's why he makes it clear in verse 2, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. Are you grasping that? Okay, he's saying, oh, no, this is going to happen. So if you keep doing this unrighteous way, this hypocritical way, and that's the point he's saying. If you're going to be that hypocrite, you're headed to hell. You already judged them to hell. While you're doing stuff, it's just on the stuff that you've accepted and God didn't. And he also says, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. How do I know if I'm using the right measure? Everything I'm saying to them is fully supported by the Bible, and I'm doing it for everything. Do you get it? Let's ask the question, how do we recognize and eliminate over-righteousness? This is so necessary. We must do this. First of all, when we are working on looking righteous instead of being righteous, okay? When I want to just look the part. That's where the whole dress came. When I finally found out the history of people dressing up for church, it was they want to look the part. You have many people that really dress nice and know nothing about the Bible. Do you understand that? That dress has nothing to do with. You look through the Bible and it talks about character, which will adjust our dressing, and it'll blow your mind on the way people are dressing is more look at me and less shining Christ. Matthew 23, verse 28 says, in the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. In other words, many people that you'll have worldly people calling you godly because they don't know any better. You're walking around puffed up because they're calling you godly, while in reality, you're headed to hell. Full of hypocrisy and wickedness. We have some that just because they go to church and they curse and they fool around and they do things and they slander, they do things that you're not supposed to on the outside. They follow ungodly practices and partner with ungodly people. They don't realize you're trying to look the part instead of being the part. Only those who are, not those who give the appearance of. Next, building knowledge without love. Some excellent Bible studiers. There are some people, man, they know the word. What you don't realize is so did the Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders, the ones he said that were doomed. In 1 Corinthians 8, 1-3, it says, now about food sacrificed to idols. So in this one topic, he gives something that covers a universal topic. He says, we know we all possess knowledge. What he's saying is, okay, we know what we know, especially if you're in the word like you're supposed to. That's great. Some go into it to show how right they are. I just want to show you how I can really know the word. Isn't that brilliant with the word I know? And here's the problem. Knowledge puffs up. We want to be that actually person that kind of makes a person understand how smart we are in the Lord. But he makes very clear, but love builds up. Love is a whole different monster. Because what love makes sure that I do is make sure I'm representing God. So I don't go into it to know, I go into it to represent. Love is very careful. Love is very reverent. And love is very, very gentle. How they say it, when they say it, if they say it. It says, the man who thinks he knows something does not know yet as he ought to know. And that takes maturity and godliness. So be careful when you're confident of that. You got it. But the man who loves God is known by God. Remember, he says also, if you love me, you'll do what I command. So if you love God, you're the one who's following God, not the one that's trying to puff up, look at my knowledge. The ultimate example of not being over-righteous, believe it or not, is Christ. And he shows the main key in order for us to do this. Follow Jesus' lead by doing only what God says. John 5:30, he says, by myself, I can do nothing. He didn't say, I can do very little. No, he said, I can do nothing. Every movement or whatever I did is nothing. I've done nothing. He says, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek, watch this, not to please myself, but him who sent me. Do y'all catch what he's doing there? Because there's so many things we do in our self-righteousness that truly we go, but that was a godly thing we did. Like I told you, it's one church canceled the next three services, which the Bible shows Got to get fed, got to receive the word. This has to be a continual thing. And they went out to the community. It sounds great. Not realizing, no, they were hindering the feeding, the most important part. Why didn't they take off a week? Tell everybody, take off a week from work and let's do it every day. Why didn't they do that? Or I can't miss my paycheck, but I can miss the word. We also see part of Jesus' example in John 12, 48 to 50. He says, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. He makes very clear there is somebody that's going to judge. Now watch what he says. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. Now he is the word, but he's saying as the word, what I presented is what's going to judge you. Pay close attention to what that means. God is not going to go, Keith, man, that, you know, that way you did that, man, it seems so righteous. All those people were inspired by your implied righteousness. No, he's going to go, so why, Keith, that thing you did, why did you do it? And the only right answer is because your word said. If not, he'll go, why did you do it when I didn't say to do it? What are you going to say? He says very clearly, for I did not speak of my own accord. That's what Jesus says. But the Father who sent me commanded me what to say, and watch this, and how to say it. Every time you help somebody, can you back up everything you do based on word of God and how you did it for them? Did you help them based on the word of God? Y'all get this? Y'all understand this? Verse 50, he says, I know that his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Over-righteousness is flooding and infecting the body of Christ. Should not be. Sometimes they're more dangerous than those who are just sinning because they're the ultimate sinner. They give off this sense of, I am so godly. While in reality, they're just the opposite. Measure yourself. Everything you do, everything you say, your entire life, if it's totally measured by God's word, amen. But if you see you have added, you are doing, you respond by something that somebody told you to do, something that you think you should add, something that seems right, pull it back to faith and just do what he said. Let us pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, once again, thank you so much, dear Lord, for your love, your kindness. We want to worship you in every way we can. Help us to get self out the way. It's very easy for us to be over-righteous, dear Lord. It's very easy for us to get puffed up in ourselves. We want to recognize and beat our chests and let you know it's only because of you, if any righteousness we have. So we just want to trust in you. We got ourselves in this mess, and because of your mercy and your grace, you gave us a way out of it. So help us, dear Lord, to recognize that and not tread upon what you've already provided for us in our lives. We thank you so much for your love, your kindness, and we just worship and praise you and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.